Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. We're in season 3, episode 5, and today's topic is when communication breaks down. Now, I know in nearly all of our episodes, we've talked about how important communication is, not just on the client side, but the VA side too, and talking to each other. But what happens when one or the other doesn't communicate or the lines of communication break down? So that's what we're talking about today. One of the things that kind of came up when we were brainstorming the episode was we talk a lot about collaboration with other VAs. And if we can't do something, then we are happy to bring on another VA to help take on the task. But then who handles that communication between multiple VAs or specialists or team members? Communication can break down when there's not a leader taking the lead of communicating deadlines and changes. Bree's talked about that before, and I'm going to pass it back to her to bring it back around because she is a team manager, leader, and has created that communication. So, Bree, what do you have to say when a client brings on more than one team member and nobody communicates or doesn't know how to communicate?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've worked towards, like finding different methods. One of the things that we do is we really try to make sure we don't have it in an email as much as possible. We try to find a place that we can all communicate together. And what we actually find is a really great tool is Slack. So usually for each client, we'll set up a Slack workspace and we'll have different channels for different types of communication. And we try to keep the communication in the channels so that it's a group message. And it's on different topics. It's broken out. Everybody can see what everybody is talking about so that if somebody is sick or if somebody goes on holiday, you can kind of scroll back and see where everything's at, if somebody else had to jump in, that kind of thing. So we really try to create spaces where everybody can communicate and find the ways that communicate good for them. So with Slack, what I love about it is I can send a video message. We can do audio messages if people want to talk things out. If I'm more of a visual one, I can read the transcript of the audio, or if I'm out at a doctor's appointment and I just want to check in on things, I can read through it and still see what's going on. So there's various ways that everybody can communicate depending on how they communicate in that space. Or we also use task management platform called ClickUp. And so that we also use for like keeping everything together on a task and being able to touch base and have, you know, different processes for who's doing what when and when to hand it off to the next person and keep our communication in there to help with that.
Before we move on, I want to just ask a question about Slack because I know what that is and I understand what it means when you say a channel for different things. Mm-hmm. But for somebody who may not be familiar with that type of technology, can you explain a little bit like what a channel would be and how someone who may not have done it before, may interact with it or create something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of what we do is actually available on the free account. So it's not something that you have to pay extra for. But what I like to explain it as is it's basically like a text messaging house. It's kind of like WhatsApp or something like that. But the difference is that not only can you do a direct message to certain people who are in that group, you can also do like topics. So like I consider channels are like topics of conversation. So for example, if we are working with a client and we're doing their newsletters, their website, emails, and events, we'll have different channels for each of those different things to break up the conversation so that we don't have the events and the social media and the email marketing all in one big long train. We have it broken out so that anything that has to do with social media posts is in one spot. Everything to do with events is in one spot. And everything to do with websites is in the one spot. So the channels are like those different topics of conversation so that it keeps it easier to go back and find things or keep topics of conversation in one place.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes with what we've also talked about with keeping everything in one place. So it sounds like if you are having those channels in Slack, you might also have those folders in a shared Google Drive so that you could keep those things identifiable in the same
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like in ClickUp, like we also have the same kind of topics in ClickUp so that if it's the individual tasks, we can actually go in onto that and coordinate, like put the links to the ClickUp task in Slack if they're not seeing it and direct them back and forth that way to make it easier to find.
So, and I know this is like all you right now, but
that's okay.
Some of our listeners may never have done programming or tools like this. And so do you then, if having a client come in, do you get them set up and teach them what to do and show them all of the ins and outs of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we help guide them through every step of it. I have like startup videos and I do like a walkthrough of like how a task is laid out and things in a meeting. But then I also have videos so that if they're working in it and they're just getting started, they have something that they can go back to. And then if they have any struggles with it as they go along, we'll just hop on a call or send them a video to help guide them or send them like that link directly so they're not having to fumble around while they're learning how to navigate the platform.
And then how does it work if a client's like, okay, great, and I'm bringing in these team members that are not part of your team? So do you then invite them into, is that something that you do too?
Yeah. Yeah. We invite them into those same spaces to make sure that we're all able to communicate and we can all see what's going on and that kind of stuff. I find it's easier and it's more transparent and everybody can kind of get a feel for when it's their turn to do their piece or that kind of stuff and not feel like they're lost. And it's been working really well that way.
Now, for those of you who don't actually use Slack, because I only use Slack with one client, and that's because she brought me into it. I hadn't used it before, and we are not nearly that organized. It's just a whole long thread, and I have to like scroll back and figure out why it keeps saying it's new messages when I've already read them. But there are similar technologies to creating that type of communication. But this topic is when those avenues of communication break down. Now, Bree is a natural leader. And as a collaborative VA with a team, I think you hold your clients in a space of safety and security, and not all VAs hold their clients in to that level. We do, because we all do that. But some of the horror stories are clients feeling like they weren't in that safe communication space or feeling that security. So that really is a form of communication breakdown. What are some other ways that a client can then step into if their VA is not as maybe tech savvy or communication savvy? Leon, what are your thoughts?
So if they're not used to the technology and stuff like that, they need to be honest with their VA and say, hey, I need to talk it out, or I'm going to send you emails. I have some clients that are like, I have to have every single subject separated in an email. So in other words, don't send me one email with three items. If it's three different tasks, send me three different emails. And that helps communicate. But those are the clients that know their communication style and what works for them. When they don't know what works for them, it's then up to the VA to come up with a way, or at least come up with a way that works for the VA and the client. And you might just have to try a bunch of different ways to see what works. When it doesn't work, it can go really bad really fast. And then you have to have one of those uncomfortable conversations with, this is not working. How can we fix it?
I had to have that conversation because a client of mine would put everything in the subject line in all capital letters. And every time I got an email, I thought she was yelling at me, and it literally made me sick to my stomach. And I ended up having to fire the client because I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't get around that. She was one who was like, basically, I'm going to tell you everything in the subject line. Okay. But it was lots of emails because it was like one thing at a time. I didn't know then what I know now. I might have had a different conversation with her had I been stronger. But at that time, I was like, I just can't do it. But you brought up a good point about knowing your communication styles. I am a verbal processor. I talk to think. I can recap things for my clients in an email, but I can't think things through to hand off to my VAs in an email. I like to talk. So I schedule calls with them and, you know, try to get all the tasks out in a verbal way. Sydney was super instrumental in me figuring that out because I didn't know what to hand off until we were in a call and I was just talking. And they were just listening. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Okay, here's my list to do because you just brain dumped it all out, you know? But other people can think and write it down and then send things. How has the different communication styles shown up and how have you used that to keep communication going, or how has that broken the lines of communication? Sid, we'll start with you.
I think it's always a learning process with every client. I think there will be rougher patches in the beginning when you're getting to know what the communication style is, when you're getting to know each other, especially if a client's never worked with a VA before. I think there is a learning curve in terms of getting to know the way the VA likes to communicate, in terms of getting to know the way that you need to communicate. I think I've encountered different kinds of communication. Some people like to do audio messages. Some people like to do emails. I think I'm pretty flexible. There's not really a form of communication that I won't do. At least I haven't found it yet, for sure. If I do this for long enough, I'll find something. For me, I find that sometimes communication can really peter out. And then there's uncertainty around the VA of like, should I reach back out? Like they're like I completed this task and there's like, no, it's radio silent. And so I think being clear about whether or not the tasks you want are ongoing, or if it's like a, okay, cool, thanks, we can go our separate ways, I don't have anything else, kind of to just put a bow on it, instead of maybe both sides being like, should we still be talking? Is there anything else? You know?
Yeah. So we're going to shift a little bit to when a client has multiple VAs, but they don't work so well together. We work really well together. We are not always the prime example of what a client will face in the real world. So what has been some experiences that maybe didn't go so well for you in working with other VAs, and what was the resolution? How did it turn out? And kind of what did you learn from the situation to go forward?
I can go. I've had where like a client had like another VA or somebody that they were working with before they brought us in. And sometimes I found like when we started, it was more like they would talk and then she would come back and then she would tell us what was going on. And I feel like, you know, like when you would play that game telephone as a kid, there's some things that like maybe I would ask a different question, or I just need a nuance to confirm like what was going on or things like that. And so when we started having like confusion happening, I was like, you know what, like, why don't we set up a time where we can all meet and kind of figure out like who's doing what. Let's go through like line by line what this process is and make sure we're all clear on it. And then we'd set up a space where all of us could communicate together. So I could go directly to that person to ask questions or clarify. And we could talk between us without having that telephone happening. And we could also clarify like our hours, right? If I'm working weekdays from 9 to 5 and they're working on weekends and they're expecting me to respond and now they need that, like there was sometimes breakdowns of like, oh, but I was going to do this on the weekend and I needed stuff from you and I'm not working weekends. So it's like, okay, we got to figure out when do you need things and how to like make that timeline play out and things like that as well. For not even just other VAs, but even with clients, right?
Yeah. And I think part of this is, especially for the clients who are listening, it's who's taking the leadership role, because not all the VAs are gonna know, like how Bree can just kind of go, hey, this isn't working, let's do this and offer suggestions. Sometimes that might fall on you as the client to step into that leadership realm, to be the director of the group and to say, hey, there's a lot of you now, or there's more than one of you now, so let's have a call together and work this out. And, you know, Bree, you're going to take notes, and Leanne, you're going to do this, and Sydney, you're going to do this, and just kind of step into that CEO hat, because it's your business to be the leader of. Sometimes you'll have a VA who will naturally step into the leadership realm, but sometimes it's going to be up to you. And I would say err on the side of caution and you, the client, step into that leadership realm. And if one of your VAs does rise to the surface to kind of go, I'll be team lead on this, then you at least have that clarification. Leanne or Sydney, do you have any thoughts on that topic?
Go for it, Sid.
Okay. I kind of building off of what Bree said with the different hours, I think when you have an event or something that requires a lot of VAs to work on it, especially if it's something with a deadline, you want to plan, you know, 3 times more buffer than you think you'll need. Because the more VAs you add into it, the more back and forth has to happen. And that'll take time, especially when everyone's working different hours. So I think planning for that and knowing that something is going to take a lot longer if there's more VAs working on it, and kind of just being able to organize your time accordingly.
That's so insightful. But I had to write that down. The more VAs on the team, the more time you need to buffer, because that is so true. Because we got to buffer to get, right? If I'm doing one thing, I got to get it to you so you can do your thing, so we can get it back to me to do my thing to then pass it along. It's brilliant. Brilliant. Learn something new every episode. Leanne, what do you have?
So one of the things I've noticed is in communication, if everybody's open and willing to work together, communication will eventually find a way. But when one or more close down and they're protective of their work or what they think their responsibility is, then the communication breaks way more easily. So one of the things I've noticed when working in groups of VAs is if there isn't a leader who's saying, you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this, then everybody's like, but this is my part of the project and I'm not going to share with you. And that comes back to the collaboration stuff. But if somebody's hoarding their stuff and not sharing where they are in it and stuff, now you've got problems with communication and the project getting done. And that adds, you need more buffer time to get the information so that you can move the project forward. If you don't have a leader VA, or if the CEO is not stepping in and making sure it's happening, what do you do? I've been in the situation. I know the project collapsed, but at the same time, it was like, well, what else can you do? I don't have an answer to that one because the project collapsed. But so what else can you do when you're not getting the information? Somebody's not communicating. Now what?
Now what? What are some solutions we could give? I mean, that's a pretty scary like scenario to think about, because, you know, especially if this is your first time working with the different VAs and you haven't established that skill in your leadership toolbox, you know, you may not know how to navigate and for delegation stuff. What are some solutions that we might offer a client who finds himself in that situation? What do you wish you had been able to tell that client, Leanne?
Quite honestly, I wish that client would have stepped more firmly into their CEO position and said, this is the way it's going to be. In that particular case, that was the only solution that would have worked. I couldn't step in and say, this is the way it is. It's not my business. I can only do so much. And then at some point, I've got to stop. It's just not, you know, I can't go any farther. I can't make the person work with me or make the person hand over the information. I think that's the only solution that would have worked, but I'd love to hear what everybody else thinks.
That's what comes to mind for me as well, is like having maybe a one-on-one call with the client and just being like, hey, you know what? This is maybe the status of the project. This is what's going well. This is an area that maybe we could use some improvement. And this is a roadblock I'm falling into. And like even start the conversation, like, do you have any ideas of what I can do to work with that person? And just start the conversation with them and give them like some support maybe and some coaching on like, maybe this idea would help. Or if I had this, this would help me. And then kind of coach them or encourage them and support them in helping with that. And at some point it might come down to this person's not a fit. Maybe we need somebody else to fill that role. If, you know, it's like kids, if you give them a chance and you go to talk to them and it doesn't change and it doesn't change and it doesn't change, there's only so much you can do too, from even the client.
Yeah. Ego can get in the way. And I'm not going to lie, it can get in the way on the VA side and the client side. And, you know, sometimes it's going, what's best for the project versus maybe the relationship, or, right? Like if you're friends and they're still not doing what they need to do, it might be like, hey, it's not working out. But the buck always stops at the client store because it's your business. So if things aren't happening, and you know, it might do good to check in weekly with any team members to be like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And having a safe place to have those communication like talks, like, how's this working out for you? Are you getting what you need? How can I make this easier for you? Is there anything that I need to do to make this work? Because if it's going great, they're going to say it's great. And hopefully, if it's not going great, they'll say, well, you know, I really need this to keep going. So could you find out what the status is of that? It does fall in the lap of the client to keep the momentum going. And we've talked about it before, I think, but you can't step away from the business or the project just because you have people working on the tasks. You do need to have your hand in all the pots, even just to know what the status is of them. So, you know, we've talked about clients who kind of go, okay, my VAs are going to handle it. And then they step completely out and they're not available. And, you know, that can be a cause of lost communication, bottlenecking, keeping things from going as smoothly. I think even if the VAs don't necessarily talk to each other well, the client being able to talk to each one individually well, and then being able to kind of go, okay, Leanne's doing this, Bree's doing this, Sydney's doing this, I still don't know, so let's have a call to make sure that everyone's getting it. Or, hey, by this date, we need this, and that date, we need this, and project managing it. Or hire an OBM to be the project manager. But that's not always in everyone's wheelhouse, and it may not always be what you need. But if you've had that experience where you've had multiple VAs and it hasn't worked out, then you might go for the next round. I need
a different type of VA to manage the project. You guys got anything else you want to add?
I think something I'll add is right now in one of my classes, we're talking about entropy. Entropy is basically the idea that everything will tend towards disorder and chaos. And you can think about projects with a lot of VAs like that. If you don't step in, if you're not continually keeping up with it and staying on top of it, it will tend towards disorder and chaos. That's just what it'll do. So there has to be that kind of consistent parameters, that consistent communication. I think communication is the antidote to entropy, right? So you have to be talking. You have to, you know, you have to put systems in place. You have to get organized in order to prevent the inevitable entropy.
That's awesome.
And to that too, I think it's like also having realistic expectations, right? If you're communicating to your team that you're going to get your piece to them by a certain point, and then you don't, now you're leaving them floundering, right? So it's like you also have to communicate, hey, you know what? Life happened. Actually, the date I'm going to give you is this. And then everybody has to adjust or whatever. But if you don't have that communication, projects can fall apart like that too. I've had things with clients where they were like, yep, we started, we had all this buffer, things were going to be great. And then they got sick and life happened. But then the event that was happening didn't adjust. And so everything started getting scrambled. And then there started being mistakes. And then things started getting missed. And then it felt like it was a show, right? Like nothing went right. And so then it was like a little bit of a regroup after, like, okay, maybe we should have said no. Maybe we should have stopped. Maybe we should have regrouped. Maybe we should have pushed out that event. But if you're at least learning from the experience, I think is important. But I think also communicating when things change on anybody's part in the group is also really important too. And that it's not a failure, right? Like it's just sometimes you have to be honest.
Yeah. That honesty piece, it's freaking hard, right? You gotta, but I love this term. Look at any of the struggles with curiosity, not judgment, right? If you're learning, it's learning, right? Nobody steps into a leadership role knowing everything, right? I mean, CEOs of big companies started in the mailroom and they learned as they went, you know, at least my experience, you know? But like, even those of us who have been doing this for a number of years, we're still learning, like different communications with different clients. New clients can show us completely different strategies, and things that work with one client don't work with another client. And so it's okay if things do break down a little bit, but it's also then pausing, reflecting, taking a step back to look at what's going on with some curiosity. Like, is it me? Is it that I have to have a conversation? Is it a systems thing that we need to adjust? Do we need to create a spreadsheet or a process, right? The bottleneck or the struggle may not be it's not working. It just may be we're missing something and we need to create something or clear something, or, you know, maybe, you know, I gave the wrong project to the wrong VA and they need to switch. You know, there's so many what ifs, but it's being able then to go, something's not working. What is it? What's it trying to tell us? What do we need to do to fix it? Sometimes it may be we need to find a new team member. Sometimes it's I got to step in more than I thought I needed to. Sometimes it's okay, I really do need to pick a captain of the team to drive the ship. You know, that's not me because I'm not the organized one, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not always a bad thing when communication breaks down if you can pause, look at it, and use it as a way to adjust things. Thank you so much for being with us today on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you have any questions at all, please email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com or use our link tree to connect with any one of us. And thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.